ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजम् ब्रह्मशयनाय विद्महे कन्याकुमारि धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो वी आर् इन् दि सेकेण्ड् सेक्शन् आफ् दि फस्ट् चाप्टर् फस्ट् मुण्डकम् प्रथममुण्डके द्वितीयः खण्डः प्रथमः प्रथम मुण्डकम् फस्ट् मुण्डकम् मीन्स् फस्ट् पार्ट् आफ् दि मुण्डकम् अण्ड् वेर् इन् वि आर् द सेकेण्ड् सेक्शन् द्वितीय खण्डः अण्ड् वेर् इन् दि पर्फार्मेन्स् आफ् वेदिक् रिचुवल्स् प्रिस्क्रैब्ड् इन् दि कर्मकाण्ड आर् डिस्कस्ड् वित् रेफरेन्स् टु दि पर्फार्मेन्स् आफ् अग्निहोत्रम् कर्म the smallest and the important the simplest of the Vedic rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda and you all know very well the performance of Vedic ritual is one of the forms of worship Vedic way of worshipping the Lord you know worship is an act of offering Worship is a symbolic act of offering through which we express our gratefulness to the Lord in the form of devatas, the phenomena which contribute abundantly for our well-being. And this way worship is an expression of our thoughtful expression of our thoughtfulness of devatas, our expression of our gratitude. To this, the Lord in the form of Devatas, acknowledging their contribution, because of which we keep going. This is worship. And this worship as a will-involved action is highly effective. Any action is effective. There's no action which goes without producing a phalam. Every action does produce the phalam. This is a law. No, we can say law of reaction, we can say according in physics, but here we can say law of action itself was every action has to create some motion, result in some motion, which is there's a phalam is definite. This was a will involved worship action, worship and wherein our prayer also is implied. What we want is implied. We don't directly ask, but the prayer is implied through this act of offering. In expressing our thanks. That is why worship is a Vedic way of worshipping. Or one of the forms of worshipping the Lord is what? Through performance of rituals. Through performing a ritual, we worship the Lord. And here, there are so many rituals prescribed, and to get any result, anything you want in life, whether you want for prosperity, we have rituals. For pleasures, enjoyment of pleasures, we have rituals. Even to be able to live a dharma, we have rituals. And pleasures means what? Pleasures, not only pleasures that can be enjoyed in this world, in this universe, pleasures which can be enjoyed life hereafter also. Pleasures which can be enjoyed here and pleasures which can be enjoyed hereafter. That means what? Heavenly pleasures, which we are not sure of, but Shastram definitely says there are pleasures, heavenly pleasures. The best of pleasures. We are tired of worldly pleasures. We can always try for best, better pleasures. And okay? Because we will do. I tell you, there were people in Vedic period who were aspiring for such pleasures. Once you have enjoyed the best of pleasures everywhere, now what will you do? You'll be tired of this and you want something better. Something better. Something better. Something better. That's why we change the day in the holiday resorts also. No, we have to change. That is the nature of the mind. Mind always wants change. Mind cannot be happy with the one thing. You know that? Until it discovers fullness, it discovers happiness. No, mind will be searching for happiness. And nowhere happiness is available. That is why mind will be going, trying one after the other. We'll try this, or not. We'll try this, or not. We'll try this next. The mind will be going after one after the other. That is why we change our objects of pleasures also for different types of pleasures. You know, because in every time you change the objects of pleasure, it's seeking pleasure. There what to seek is fullness. You are searching for fullness in fraction. That is why you have to change. Keep on changing. That is, it's natural. That's why not only for the pleasure that can be enjoyed in this universe, worldly pleasures, there's a heavenly pleasures, you know. So you can accomplish even heavenly pleasures. How? By performing rituals. Okay? So what all one can accomplish by performing rituals? If you perform a ritual, now you can have artha, you can have kama, you can have pleasures here and pleasures here after also. And there again, to have the, even there, to enjoy the best of pleasures in the highest of the worlds also, you can perform rituals. Sometimes mere performance of rituals itself will help you enjoy the pleasures hereafter. Sometimes, along with the performance of rituals, you are also expected to do some upasanam, meditation upon given devatas. No? So it's called jnana karma samuchaya. Jnanam in this context means upasanam, meditation. So one has to perform rituals along with meditation, practice of meditation on a given devata, which will help one to accomplish the best of heavenly pleasures. Minus jnanam, how many ever karmas you perform, how much ever elaborately you perform, how much ever upasana, meditation you do on given devatas, and all that you can accomplish is enjoy the best of pleasures, but still you will be continued to be bound. You will not be free. Ajnanam will be there always. Only through knowledge, only by knowledge, ignorance can be eliminated. Only by dispelling your ignorance, you discover fullness which is already there as very you. Other than knowledge, any amount of karmas performed, any amount of meditations practiced on any different things will help you enjoy the best of pleasures, but still you would be bound, and which you again you have to be born. As long as you are bound, you are ignorant, you will be bound. As long as you are bound means what? You would be born again and again and again and again and again. And you will be exhausting punya papas, enjoying pleasure. In keeping with the account, whatever you have in your account, punyam and papam, you will be exhausting your parabdha karma, going through pains or pleasures, even pleasures. Nice, jolly life also. But there's no freedom. This we had to make it, it has to become very clear for us. Why? Unless it becomes very clear, our commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is impossible. Otherwise, it will be a mere academic pursuit, no? It is for just for intellectual pleasure. There are many people who do PhDs in Advaita Vedanta in universities. You know why? Academic. It's mainly for intellectual pleasure. Oh, I know all these things. Are you free? Lots of problems are there. But here when you study Shastram with this the tradition teacher, the sadhu life itself is mainly for helping you to discover your goal. And then you could be committed to that pursuit. And here you are very clear, and that is why Upanishad also, what it does is, in the second section, whole of second section, it is talking about the rituals in between. Another, why should Upanishad introduce rituals? Understand? Just to make you what you can achieve by performing any ritual along with the practice of meditation. What is the best thing? What are the best of things you can achieve? Swarga. Nice holiday. Once Punyam is exhausted, you will be coming back. This is the thing. You know, nothing more than that. So this has become very clear. Even such greatest rituals can help me only accomplish pleasures, means what to talk of other karmas we do. We want to do something, achieve something, accomplish something. What are you going to do? No, that there's no moksha there. So somewhere we have to do karma to live the life. At the same time, we have to, consciously, really spare time for knowledge, wherein moksha is. That is the idea of discussing karma in the second section of the Mundakam. First Mundakam. Okay, we saw how Agnihotra karma is performed, and how Agnihotram karma performed with other auxiliary rituals help one to accomplish things, and how Agnihotram karma performed without the satellite rituals becomes not effective, becomes unproductive, and then said how it should be performed. And we saw the different names of the different types of flames that can really shoot up when the fire is kindled, how oblations should be offered, how the ritual should be performed properly, etc. We saw just an idea of the performance of rituals. And then he said, we saw when a person performs the ritual properly and if it is effective, what happens? The performance of rituals produces twofold phalam. What is that? One is any karma produces twofold phalam, twofold fruits. What is that? Drishtam phalam, adrishtam phalam. Drishtam phalam is what? You enjoy some fruit here itself. And adrishtam phalam is what? You acquire punyam. What is punyam? Punyam, you can't see that. Okay? Punyam you accumulate. And that punyam will be translated in the form of some pleasure which you will be enjoying later on. That's what is punyam. You also accumulate punyam. And so this performance of such rituals also really helps one to accumulate punyam. Suppose you have punyam, then what happens? This is not while living, okay? When the body, when prarabdha gets exhausted, when the body falls, if a person dies, an ignorant person, definitely there'll be another body ready waiting for him. Which body we do not know, in keeping with one's punyam. Horizontal, vertical, we don't know, that we want body waiting for us. Crawling, flying, jumping, hopping, we don't know which body, okay? It'll be waiting for us. We will assume a given body and we'll be born. You know that? In keeping with one, I tell you, we will not go for such bad things. We will be born nice human being. Yoga brashtaha. We always say abhijayate. Yoginam kule eva jayate abhijayate. So, no problem. be born a good family of the with the culture good highly the good cultural background and wherein a lot of bhakti is there, such good families will be born again. No problem. Generally what it says, definitely why Bhagavad Gita you would have, we must have, I don't know whether you have come across that verse. Now it is definite. Jatasya mrityuhu dhruvaha. For the one who is born, death is definite. Mrutasya janma dhruvam. That is what people don't accept. Mrutasya janma also dhruvam. For the one who is dead, birth is definite. Rebirth is definite. Life, death is not an end of the life. Life is a beginningless, endless cycle. Understand, what comes, what has a beginning, what comes to an end is the body which has a beginning which will come to an end. Body has a beginning, body has an end. You come, you occupy this house, live in this house and vacate this house and go away and look for another house. Understand now? That's how we are doing. That is what life is, beginningless, endless cycle. They said, mrutasya janma dhruvam, for one who is dead, dead birth is definite. Always body, next body will be waiting readily for us to go and, you know, assume. But here, for the one who has, who's been performing rituals, or for the one who regularly performs rituals properly, as, you know, as prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda, and he accumulates punyam. One who worships, any worshipper accumulates punyam. Don't think we have to perform only rituals to accumulate punyam. Any type of worship you do, please understand, worship, the form of worship can differ from culture to culture. The form of, even the different forms of worship we have in, you know, Indian culture itself, Vedic culture itself, we have different forms of worship. So, any form of worship, we have substitutes for Vedic rituals also. Now, by performing rituals like Abhishekam, performing Abhishekam, you know, giving shower to Bhagavan, you know that. No, at that time we give bath to Bhagavan. So, here, with this performing Abhishekam and doing other pujas also substitutes for Vedic rituals. Understand now? So any form of worship, forms of worship are different, but spirit behind the forms of worship is one and the same, which is expressing our gratefulness to Bhagavan in the form of phenomena and then acknowledging their contribution for our well-being, wherein our prayer also is implied. That is why any ritual is what? Effective. It's a karma, will involved, thoughtfully performed ritual, karma. It, in action, it is, definitely no prayer, no worship ever goes waste. That is why any form of worship, intensely, fervently, thoughtfully, faithfully done, will be highly productive, will definitely produce a result in the form of punyam. So we accumulate punyam. So the more you worship Bhagavan, more punyam you accumulate. It's only a karma. As a result of that punyam, what will happen? One will, the punyam alone, you know, all lots of offerings you do to Bhagavan, the Lord, and those offerings, ahutayaha, nayanti, then the offerings in the form, come in the form of punyam, they take you, means what? Don't think ahutis come walking with head and tail, okay? The punyam takes one after the death of the body, after the, when the body falls, the sukshma shariram, understand now? See, you cannot go to any of the higher lokas in the same physical form. Understand? Physical form has to fall. So any heavenly enjoyment of any amount of heavenly pleasures is like enjoying anything in your dream. But still you enjoy, isn't it? Therefore, we will actually, you will be taken, yehi yehi iti. No? they are happily, all these, Ahuti is a feminine gender word. That is why, as though the women come and take you. Like air hostess women, come and take you, And then, ehi iti, they come, and then archayantyaha, praising you, and they're talking to you nice, sweet words, they take you, and they take you to where? To the Shukla Gatihi. I told you about the Shukla Gatihi means what? The solar path. In other ways, we say Devayanaha, which we'll see again, this word will come across later on in the third mundak also. Devayanaha, Shukla Gatihi, solar path. No? They take you through Rashmi Bihi, they take you through to the Surya Lokaha, or Deva Lokaha, or Swarga Lokaha, or so you can call Satya Lokaha. Understand all different names. And it's the highest of the Lokas. And suppose sometimes you may be taken through Krishna Gatihi also. This is not mentioned here. If you perform your rituals, you will be taken through Krishna Gatihi, the dark path, or Chandra Gatihi, lunar path. You will be taken to Chandra Loka, or world of manes, pitrus. There you enjoy some pleasures, and once the punyam gets exhausted, you come back, you'll be born again. If you perform rituals along with the practice of meditation, then as a result of that punyam, you will be taken through solar path to the much higher loka, where you will be in contemplation. And there you will attain jnanam, there you will attain moksha, not here. Okay? That moksha is called krama muktihi. Is it now? Krama muktihi. Why work so hard and go to Brahma Loka, there remaining in contemplation, in subtle form, and attain moksha krama muktihi? Difficult, isn't it? But here itself we can attain that moksha. What is that? Sadyo muktihi. Sadyo muktihi means here in this life itself, here itself we can attain that moksha. How? By being contemplative here itself. By knowing the truth, by understanding the surupam of the reality as the self, by constantly meditating upon it, dwelling upon the nature of the reality, being contemplative, here itself you can have the ascertained vision of the truth, and here itself you can attain moksha while living here in this life, which you don't need to strain much. Understand? Which is what? Sadyo muktihi. Is possible here by jnanam. But if you perform rituals and practice meditation, understand, rituals have to be effective, you have to do it properly, and you have to be meditating also. Certain meditative techniques are prescribed for that. And as a result of which, you go to Brahma Loka, or Satya Loka, or Swarga Loka, and wherein you will be again in contemplation, and then there you attain moksha, which is called krama muktihi, not direct. Krama muktihi. Is it clear now? So even if you perform rituals along with the practice of meditation, and this all is the way, punyam ahutis will come and take you, talking to you nicely, praising you, then they'll take you to what? Come on, this is the swargalokaha, which you have gained as a result of your punyam. You have a good time. Have a good time here. They leave you there and go means what? It's all just figurative expressions, okay? Just say, you will go to Swarga Loka. What will you do there? You could have better contemplated here itself in this world. Worked so hard to go there. why should you go to Himalayas buying plane ticket and go to India? Why can't you meet it here itself? Isn't it? You have to work hard to earn the money. Then with the money, you have to travel, which involves a strain. Understand? And there going, what are you going to do? Sit and meditate. Understand? Similarly, here also, you earn a lot of punyam. Work very hard to earn punyam. And with the punyam you have earned, you go to Swargaloka. There, what do you do again? What will you do in Swargaloka again? Again, you will be in contemplation. Don't ask me how I will be in meditation and contemplation in Swargaloka. I don't know. Only Shastram tells this. See, instead of going there and being contemplative, why can't you be contemplative here itself? The Shastra says that. And there you attain moksha. That moksha is called what? Krama mokshaha or krama muktihi. But without any effort, without straining too much, here itself you can understand, here itself you can be contemplative, here itself, asmin janmani iha idani meva, asmin kshane, if you are contemplative, you can attain moksha. That is what is, that is sadhyo muktihi. Understand sadhyo muktihi? That is why he's talking about it. Suppose we do not do meditation, we only perform rituals. As a result of the, then you still you gain some punyam, as a result of which you will be taken through lunar path to Pitru Loka. There is also higher Loka. There you enjoy some heavenly pleasures. Now once your punyam gets exhausted, you will not be meditative, contemplative there. You will be come back, you will again you'll be born. Understand? You will be bound. Still you will be a bound person and with all inadequacy, with all your old problems. You will be the same person. The rich person has better, enjoys better pleasures, but he also has his own problems. One of my professors used to tell, the rich have richer problems, poor have poorer problems. Okay, poor problem. That's all. Problems are there for everybody. So here, therefore, that's what is revealed in these mantras. So what they say, yehi yehi iti tam ahutayaha suvarchasaha suryasya rashmibihi yajamanam vahanti. Yajamanaha is who? Worshipper. The one who performs ritual. The worshipper is Yajamanaha. Yajamanam Vahanti. They take him to the Swargaloka. Priyam Vacham Abhivadantyaha. Speaking nice, sweet words. Archayantyaha. Praising him. They take him to Brahmaloka. Come on. Yeshaha Vaha Sukurtaha Brahmalokaha. Come on. This is the Brahmaloka. Have a good time here. No? They leave it there and go. That means what? And here, next mantra he says, having praised the ritual, and now he slowly the mantra talks about the limitation of the phalam one can gain as a result of performing rituals. This seventh mantra, look at this. Plavahete, plavahete, adrudhaha.
Adrudhaha.
Yete plavahete adrudhaha yajnyarupaha ashtadasha uktam avaram yeshu karma yetat shreyo yetat shreyo ye abhinandanti mudhaha jaramrityum te punarevapiyanti. Okay, look at this. He says, those who do not know the value of knowledge, those who do not know moksha, freedom from unhappiness, freedom from limitations, is nothing but the fullness, discovering the fullness which is already there as the very swarupam of the self. Actually, moksha is something to be discovered which is already there, it is not something to be attained. And such people know the value of knowledge. Those who know the value of knowledge, who know that moksha is already there, fullness is already there as the very swarupam. If it is already there, it is only to be discovered. It is not something to be attained. Those who know, they know the limitation of karma. If they know the limitation of karma, that means performance of actions is very important to live this life. But performance of karma definitely will not produce moksha. In fact, moksha is, understand now, any karma phalam is a production, is a product. Moksha is not a product, which is not a produce, which is not produced. Anything produced has beginning, therefore it will have an end also. But we are interested in moksha, which is eternal. Therefore, it cannot have beginning. It cannot have an end also. It is already, it is always there. If it is always there, it is already there. Therefore, it is something to be discovered, known. Therefore, karma phalam cannot be, moksha cannot be the karma phalam. Understand now, karma cannot produce moksha. Karma itself is time bound in nature. Those who know this very clearly will perform the karma for karma phalam to live this life. But they will not search for moksha as a karma phalam. Such people are vivekinaha. But if those who do not know that moksha is something to be discovered, not to be attained, and they do not know, then they think, oh, performing rituals is the important thing. Okay, doing karma is important thing. I can accomplish anything that I want by doing karma. Understand? I can accomplish moksha also by doing karma. If they think, they are mudaha. They are mudaha. Mudaha means what? Deluded people. Those who lack the clarity. Those who lack the clarity. Those who lack the discriminative knowledge. They are mudaha. Yesha manasu mohaha te mudaha. Those who have delusion are the mudaha. Where there is moha, delusion in the mind, and those are the deluded people. Mudaha. Mudaha. No? They abhinandanti. Oh, they talk very great. They appreciate karma and karma palam as the superior. Abhinandanti. They congratulate, they praise, they appreciate, my God, there's nothing like performing a ritual, We'll perform rituals, we'll get everything we want, so we can enjoy any amount of pleasures. We'll be happy by gaining results of karma phalam. They abhinandanti, they praise karma and karma phalam. Who are they? Mudaha. I'm not saying, Upanishad is saying, okay. Mudaha. Ye abhinandanti te mudaha. Understand? Those who praise karma and karma phalam, those who think that by performing rituals, by performing karma, they can gain result, and that result will help them to attain moksha, those who think they praise karma, they are mudaha. And such people, jaramrityum punaha eva apiyanti, punaha eva, again, definitely apiyanti, they attain, they reach what jaramrityum, they again, they have birth and death, they fall into the cycle of samsara. Jara means old age. Mrityu means they, understand now, they become subject to get old age and death again and again and again. Jara means old age. Mrityu means death. They cannot escape becoming old again and again. They cannot escape being subject to death again and again. That means what? They will be born again, they will be going through punya papas, exhaust their paradha karma, enjoying pains and pleasures in life, both. Then they will get old, they will die. Again they will be born, they will be born, they will go through prarabdha, next set of prarabdha, enjoy pains and pleasures, live the life, get old, again they will die. So jara mrityum punaha 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 eva apiyanti eva, definitely apiyanti eva, they again and again they will be subject to what? Being born again, getting old, again death. Is it clear now? Punaha eva apiyanti, punaha apiyanti eva kim up, they'll definitely attain samsara in the form of what? Getting old and dying. Again and again and again. Punaha apiyanti eva. Kim apiyanti eva? Jaramrityum. Jaramrityum punaha apiyanti eva. Who get entangled in the samsara? Who get entangled in the samsara? This cycle, this life of transmigration again and again? Mudaha. Who are the mudaha? Who think, who appreciate karma as the most superior thing, most exalted thing, and who appreciate, who think karma phalam will help them attain moksha. Te mudaha. And then how? Ye tat shreyaha. They think, oh, a karma, performance of karma is the most, the best of the things. And enjoying the karma phalam is what? The best of the things. No, shreyaha. This is the best. Yetat shreyaha. This is the best. They think, what is the best? Performing rituals is the best thing to do. Performing an action is the best thing to do. And no, as a result of karma phalam, as a result of karma, we can attain moksha. Therefore, this is the best thing. Iti yetat shreyaha iti abhinandanti. This is the best iti they abhinandanti, they praise. Okay, yetat shreyaha. Say it now. Yetat shreyaha. You know that now. Look at this. Yetat shreyaha. This is the best. This is where moksha is. We can attain moksha through performance of rituals. Iti ye abhinandanti, those who praise karma and karma phalam. Such people are mudaha. They are deluded people. Jara mrityum punaha eva apiyanti. They attain what? They become and they remain entangled in this life of transmigration continuously. Definitely, they become subject to old age and death again and again. So, becoming subject to old age and death again and again implies their being caught up in samsara forever, endlessly. Is it clear now? That means they can never discover moksha. They can never discover fullness. And here, the first line explains, so the second line explains who are the people who remain bound by samsara. The second line says, you know now, who are the people who remain bound by samsara, who remain entangled, no, in the cycle of births and deaths. The first line talks about limitation of karma again. See, yagya rupaha plavaha yete adrudaha. See, yete means these. I think last I taught you yete. Didn't I? Yete. Yeshaha yete. Look at them. I'm very glad to know at least something, to say something. Yeshaha. Remember the say now? Yeshaha. Yeshaha yagyaha. This yagya. Yete yagyaha. Say it now? Yete yagyaha. All these rituals. These rituals means what? These rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda. And the rituals are likened to plavaha. Plavaha means what? Rafts. No? The float, raft. Plavaha means that which floats, is plavaha. Now, what is that which floats in the water is raft, isn't it? The raft should not be sinking or drowning, they should be floating. See, plavaha means plavate iti plavaha. Plavate means floats, the verb. Okay? Plavaha means a floating raft. So, plavaha, one raft. Plavaha, plural. Remember what I taught you? Balaha, balaha. Purushaha, purushaha. Manushyaha, manushyaha. Plavaha, plavaha. Say that now. Plavaha, plavaha. Plavaha, yete plavaha. These rafts, floating rafts. He says, what are these floating rafts? Here, the ritual, performance of rituals, now, are likened to rafts, floating rafts here. Look at this. Yajna rupaha. Yajna rupaha. The flow, these rafts in the form of performance of rituals. Yajna rupaha. That means what? Yajnaha. Okay? Yajna rupaha plavaha. These performance of rituals, which are likened to the rafts, no, what are they here? Adrudhaha, very fragile, not strong ship, which has big strongest anchor. Wherever it we want it, any whatever is the fathom of the ocean, it can just remain strong. You won't sink or drown. This adrudaha, not sudrudaha, understand? Adrudaha means what? Fragile, weak. One big blow of wind is enough. It will just sink. No, it will fall. You will drown. You will be drowned for good into the water. Adrudaha plavaha, the fragile rafts will not help you cross this, no, big ocean of samsara, which is full of strongest and biggest heavy waves. No, we need a strong ship for that. Knowledge is the big, good ship. Moksha is, isn't it? To cross the ocean of samsara. And there, adrudaha plavaha. Adrudaha plavaha. It is like a big, strong tree, be supposed to be support for the tender creeper. The tree goes and leans on creeper. How will it be? It will kill the creeper, kill itself. Isn't it? Similarly, here also, all these rituals, why it's saying, don't lean on karma phalam for happiness. Don't lean on karma for happiness. You can lean on only on jnanam for happiness. The strongest chair, okay? You can go and sit there. You won't fall and break. Jnanam is the only thing which has to be sought for moksha, not karma or karma phalam. That is why he says, adrudaha plavaha, weak, fragile, or these rafts, they are like what, or any amount of, any number of rituals performed, you know, yajna rupaha, any ritual is like what? Like a fragile raft. And once you use that raft and you want to cross the ocean of samsara, how will it be? It's not a small stream wherein you can use the raft and then go across, no? But it's a, my God, it's an ocean, very deep ocean with the big, huge waves. And if you go there using this raft to cross the ocean of, if you want to use this small, fragile raft to cross the ocean, then one wave is enough to come and hit this, no, raft, and to make it sink and drown. That means the fragile raft will not be sufficient, will not help you to cross the big ocean of samsara. Understand? Yete, say no?
Yete.
Yagya rupaha.
Yagya rupaha.
Adrudaha plavaha.
Adrudaha plavaha.
So, yete egyarupaha adrudaha plavaha. Okay? They are like these performance of rituals, or the rituals are, you know, like the fragile rafts used in crossing the big ocean. They will never help you cross the ocean. Vaibhiki says, avaram karma, because karma is always inferior. Why it is inferior? Look at this. Any ritual is inferior in terms of accomplishing moksha. It's not a proper means. Why? Because karma, performance of ritual is dependent on accessories. Many accessories. It's ashtadasha means 18. 18, this dependent, yeshu karma, avaram karma means what? This karma is dependent on many accessories. 18 accessories. Understand now? And therefore, and see, every accessory which is dependent upon by the karma, no, which is important for the karma, itself is time bound. And karma, which is dependent on those accessories, also what? Inferior. That is why the adrudaha, it is like a fragile raft. It cannot help you attain moksha. What are they? Look at this. Karta. Say now.
Karta.
Karta means what? The performer must be there first of all for the ritual. No? Karta. All you can say karakas. You can see all the karakas, sapta karakas, no? Leave one karakam, except the shashti, all the shashti, shat karakani. The one, the performer must be there. What about the performer? No? The body, mansions, complex, time bound, isn't it? Performer, karta, then karma. You need to use so many objects, no? Karma. Then you need karanam. You need so many other things. Lad, no? Rodiji corrected my English yesterday. Ladle, not ladle, he said. I was saying, sir, ladle, he said. Yeah, I was saying, ladle, you said, but ladle, I was saying ladle. Okay, ladle, he said. So, no, here, this, you need to use so many karanams, instruments also. Karanam, then upadanam. You know, for what purpose you are doing? Place, time, you know, how long it should be done? What do you get out of it? Where it is performed? How it should be performed? Understand? Therefore, so many accessories. So this performance of rituals is dependent on many accessories. And all those accessories are time-bound in nature. Therefore, karma, which is performed using those time-bound accessories, also is time-bound. Therefore, the karma phalam is also what? Time-bound. Therefore, with reference to moksha, karma is always inferior. Why? Because karma cannot produce, the time-bound karma cannot produce eternal, timeless moksha. How can something which is time-bound produce timeless? Simple, isn't it? A time-bound thing cannot produce timeless. Because the very produce, the verb, the noun product itself implies what? You know? Time-bound nature, something, isn't it? Implies the timelessness is not possible. Timeless moksha is not possible. It just makes you, it's all making you think and making the mind subtle. Time-bound karma, time-bound karma phalam, time-bound accessory, okay? Accessory is time-bound. Karma, which is dependent on time-bound accessory, also is time-bound in nature. So the karma can produce the phalam, which is time-bound. But what you want is timeless, everlasting happiness. It can't produce. That is why if you are searching for happiness as a result of karma phalam, you will sink, you will drown into the ocean of samsara. If you are dependent on karma and karma phalam for moksha, it will be like what? So, yagya rupaha, all these yagya rupaha, the rituals are, you know, like what? Like the fragile boats. They can be used to cross small things, small streams, but not big ocean with big waves. Isn't it? Drudaha, adrudaha, adrudaha plavaha yagya rupaha. And this karma is dependent on what? It's accessories. Avaram, therefore karma avaram. But mudaha, yetat shreyaha, a performance of ritual is the best. You can produce, you can accomplish anything you want as a result of karma. You can go to swargadi lokas, enjoy the best of pleasures. Therefore, there is nothing superior to superior. There is nothing superior to the result of karma. There is no moksha other than enjoying pleasures, which you can get as a result of karma. Yetat shreyaha iti ye vadanti. Those who say this is the best, this is the way. Performance of rituals and accomplishing the fruits of actions is the way for moksha. You know, punyam. Yete iti ye abhinandanti. Those who praise, those who appreciate the karma as the most superior thing, te mudaha, they are really deluded people. They are not men of clarity. They are not men of vision. They do not have any discrimination. They are highly deluded. Then he says, te punaha, punaha, punaha. I had to say that many times, okay? Jaram rityam punaha apiyanti yeva. Definitely, they will continue to be bound by samsara. Again and again, they will be subject to old age and death. Don't think Upanishad is frightening you. Upanishad has to speak the facts, make you understand the fact as a fact. Upanishad makes you understand the facts. Subtle facts which we cannot understand by ourselves. They are all facts. Whatever Upanishad says is a fact. Fact means it's not a matter for belief, it is something which can be verified and understood. See, the matter of going to, the idea of going to heaven and enjoying the best of pleasures is a matter for belief. It's a non-verifiable belief. But moksha is eternal, which you can attain here, right now, through knowledge, is what? Fact, verifiable fact. Understand? In that context, when Upanishad says, talks about the karma phalam being time-bound, it explains how karma is avaram, why karma is inferior. Jnanam is varam, karma is avaram. Why? Because karma is time-bound. Why? Because dependent on accessories. So what? They're all time-bound. It's a fact, isn't it? It makes us think. And one thing you can know very well. A time-bound thing cannot help us accomplish timeless moksha. Again, talks about the such people. No? People who are committed to the performance of rituals, who are not interested in jnanam at all. Who are not interested in jnanam, who are so committed to rituals, performance of rituals, and who believe that by doing something they can accomplish everything. You know, such people are really criticized in the next mantra. Avidyaya mantare vartamanaha.
Avidyaya mantare vartamanaha.
Swayam dhiraha.
Swayam dhiraha.
Panditam manyamanaha.
Panditam manyamanaha.
Janghanyamanaha.
Janghanyamanaha.
Pariyanti.
Pariyanti.
Mudhaha.
Mudhaha.
Andhenaiva.
Andhenaiva.
Niyamanaha.
Niyamanaha.
Yatha andhaha.
Yatha andhaha.
He says, such people are avidyayam antare vartamanaha. Vartamanaha irikkirargal. They remain where? Avidyayam. They remain in ignorance. How they remain in ignorance? They remain steeped in ignorance. Ariyamil aalathil moohirikkirargal. Avidyayam antare ariyamin aalathil moohirikkirargal. Those who think by doing karma they can accomplish moksha, they think avidyayam antare vartamanaha. They remain steeped in ignorance. Antare vartamanaha. They remain the deepest of the ignorance. Avidyayam antare vartamanaha. That means what? It will take ages for them to come, you know, up. It's very difficult for them to come out of that fathom of ignorance. So he says, avidyayam antare vartamanaha. Then swayam dhiraha. No? Dhiraha. Dhiraha means what? That they think they're very brave and highly intelligent people. Highly, we are very intelligent. Nampil, no? They think others are all fools. Others do not know anything. Why others do not know anything? Because we are intelligent people. Dhiraha. We are very brave and very intelligent. Dhiraha. Swayam panditam manyamanaha. They think they are wise. Others don't think they are wise. Others don't think they are wise. But they think they are wise. Swayam panditam manyamanaha. They consider. They manyamanaha means what? They think, they are thinking. They are considering themselves to be wise people. Naam panditargal endru ennugiravargal. Swayam panditam manyaman. Chumadala. Some simple things. In between you can relax. The actual teaching comes next chapter. Second mundakam is very good actually. So, swayam panditam manyamanaha, dhiraha, avidyayam, antare vartamanaha. They remain steeped in ignorance. They think they are very intelligent. They think they are very brave and courageous. They think they know everything. they think they are wise. Janghanyamanaha. Okay? Pariyanti mudaha. Such people, janghanyamanaha, again and again and again chased. Okay, they come, go round and round and round, means what? They never come out of the cycle of samsara. Understand now? They are caught up in the cycle of the life of transmigration. Pariyanti, they go round and round. Pariyanti means what? Going round and round. Pariyanti. Pariyati, pariyanti. They are mudaha. They are like who? He says, why they are pariyanti? Why they go round and round? Why they always they remain caught up in samsara? They are not able to come out of the, they are not able to break the cycle of samsara. They are not able to come out of that. They are not able to be free from the bondage of samsara. Why? Because he says, andhenaiva yatha niyamanaha andhaha. Andhaha is a blind person. Now, andhaha is a blind person. Blind people, blind persons, plural is what? Andhaha. It's good, isn't it? We know aham plural last class, didn't. Andhaha, andhaha. The blind person, blind persons, andhaha. These blind people are led. Niyamana. Niyamanaha, one who is led. Niyamanaha, those who are being led. Andaha niyamanaha, blind people are led. Because they can't see things, they can't go on their own, they can't choose their path, so they have to be led by somebody else. But who are leading these blind people? Andhena. Andhena niyamanaha andaha. The one who leads is blind, the one who is led also is blind. So the blind who is led by another blind, will he reach the destination? The leader will fall into the pit. The followers also will fall into the pit. At least the man of vision, the man who has distortion-free vision, if he leads the blind, blind can reach. No, otherwise, there's no way of blind people reaching the destination where they want to go. There's no way of ignorant people discovering moksha if they're led by ignorant people. Why? Because this is where Shastram tells you. See, every human mind, look at this. However sharp the person is, however intelligent the person is, with reference to self-knowledge, one has to surrender to Shastra. One needs. You need something to guide you. If you simply ask the question, who am I, who am I, who am I? Because all day your intellect is, your mind is ignorant mind. That ignorant mind needs some guidance. If you think, no, I can just meditate on my own, I can just ask the question, I can arrive at an answer if you think. Because I'm very sharp. I'm a highly intelligent person. I'm very sharp. I can know the self myself. I don't need any pramanam. I don't need any means of knowledge. If you think, it's like one. If you think your own intellect is enough for you to discover the self, using my own intellect, I can discover the self. If you think, then it is like blind being led by another blind. I don't want pramanam. I don't need another pramanam. I can know the self. I can know the self myself. I use my own intellect. How much you crush your intellect, you will never stumble upon the truth. You know why? Because the truth is not an object. truth is not available for recognition as an object. If the truth is available for recognition as an object, then your intellect is enough. Because even though every object is nothing but the truth, but the truth is available for recognition only as the subject, very you, the one who is searching for, understand now, if the truth can never be, you know, arrived at, how much you crush your intellect. That's why you need to be guided. You need guidance. That is why we need to Shastram Sharanam Gacchami. You have to lean on Shastram. Because Shastra's words will reflect your Swarupam. To see your own Swarupam, your own face, you see the whole Jagat through your eyes. But for these eyes to see themselves, it need, you know, even though the eyes alone see, even then eyes alone see. But for the eyes to be able to see themselves, they need a reflecting medium, isn't it? They don't need a mirror. Similarly, to know your own Swarupam also, understand, to know who you are, to know how you are, to know what actually is the substance of a substantive I. What is the meaning of the word I? What is implied, okay? The Swarupam, subtlest thing, in what form is the reality? To know that, you need Shastram. The Shastra's words reflect your Swarupam. By negating what you are not, by showing what you are not, it shows you what you are, how you are. And how that you understand what is, when you understand that reality revealed as the meaning of the word I is in fact one indivisible partless whole in which all the I's have to be resolved. Everything has to be resolved. That is why it is very much very important. And andhena eva niyamanaha yatha andhaha. That is why one cannot use one's own intellect, you know, to arrive at the truth. Understand? Just simply asking these questions, who am I, who am I, who am I, will not help you to arrive at it. Even though if you can really negate it also. It may help you to negate to some point, but still to who you are, to arrive at it is not useful. That's why using one's own intellect to discover the truth without using proper pramanam, you know, is like blind being led by the blind. And here, people who think, no, by performing karma, by doing karma, by doing something, I can accomplish any result. And that result will help me to be happy. If they think, I can be happy by doing, accomplishing fruit results, you know, through performance of rituals. If they think they are mudaha, they think, no, I'm very intelligent, I can use my intellect, I can do anything. I can accomplish anything. I can keep me in good humor. I can be happy. If they think they are mudaha, swayam dhiraha, panditam manyamanaha, no, avidyayam antare vartamanaha, such people, muda pariyanti, they again go round and round and round. No, they can never come out of the cycle of samsara. Such people, no, he says, they are janghanyamanaha, no, they are chased by this, in this ignorance, caught up in this ignorance, they mean steeped in ignorance, they go again and again, round and round. That means what? They are like blind people led by blind, they never reach. The journey is a beginningless, endless, continuous journey. That means what? Journey should come to an end. The blind person who is led by other blind person, his journey will never come to an end. No, that means what? He'll always be traveling. Okay, endless journey. The blind person led by other blind persons, no, his journey will be endless journey. avidyayam. Because all about karma, I do more mantras. When you go to the actual mantras, will take time. Okay. Avidyayam. Bahudha vartamanah. See, in manifold ways, okay, vartamanaha, they remain in ignorance. They continue to be ignorant. Okay, people who perform constantly rituals, now they're committed to the pursuit of performance of rituals, and who think karma phalam is the absolute. Okay, karma phala paraha. For them, karma phalam is the param. What is absolute for them? Gaining the fruit of action is the absolute. Understand? Such people, they remain always ignorant. Those who remain ignorant always. Those who remain steeped in ignorance also always. Avidyayam.
Avidyayam.
Bahudha vartamanaha.
Bahudha vartamanaha.
And such people, vayam. Kritarthaha.
Kritarthaha.
Vayam kritarthaha. Krita artha yena saha kritarthaha. Kritarthaha means the person of accomplishment, the person of fulfillment is kritarthaha. Vayam kritarthaha, I taught you only aham. Aham, vayam. I aham, singular. Vayam, plural. Vayam kritarthaha, we are really men of accomplishment. We are people of fulfillment. They think we are people of fulfillment. We are people of accomplishment. Kritarthaha nam sadhitavargal. Vayam kritarthaha. Iti abhimanyanti. Iti abhimanyanti. They feel very proud. They feel, no, abhimanyanti. They think, they consider very highly abhimanam. Okay? Abhimanam is from abhimanyanti. They consider very highly of themselves. They're full of themselves. You know? They're full of themselves. Abhimanyanti. They consider we are achievers. Kritarthaha means achievers. We are the real achievers. Why? We know how to perform. We are intelligent. We can accomplish anything as a result of karma. We are kritarthaha iti abhimanyanti. They think superior of themselves. They consider great above of themselves. They are full of themselves. Abhimanyanti. I am kritarthaha. We are achievers, real achievers. We are people of accomplishment. Iti abhimanyanti. But they are very immature. Balaha. Okay? Upanishad is saying here, such people, they are balaha. Balaha means what? 80-year-old tata, still he is balaha. That means what? Not, don't think balaha means young boy. Buddhya balaha. Sharirena vriddaha. Understand now? Vayasi vriddaha. Vayasa vriddaha, vayasi vriddaha. But buddhya balaha. He is immature. Balaha means immature. They are very immature people. Those who think, oh, we have achieved something. If people are very successful in their lives, I tell you, if they can make lot of money and they are very rich, and by Bhagavan's grace, because of punyam they have earned in past lives, if people, there, it is possible. People become very famous and very popular and very rich, highly influential. One phone call, one. Now, just if they see some people is enough. They don't need to talk. If they see, oh, they understand what this person wants. Immediately they do things. Amazing influence they have. They may be of high influence. They don't need to write and then sign. No. If they say, lift the finger, things will be done. They see, things will be done. Such influence, such riches, such command, you know, such power, manpower, money power, influence, affluence, you know, looks and, you know, position, name, fame, popularity. All this when they achieve because of past punya karma as a punyam. They are very rich also. And they may think, if they think. If they think, Vayam Krutarthaha, I have achieved in this life. If they think, without having discovered fullness, if they think, we have achieved, that is achievement. But that is only relative achievement. That is not absolute accomplishment. They have achieved relatively. Even that one has to earn lots of punyam. Lots of punyam. One person can sit in a corner, the whole world goes to see him. Millions. That is a key achievement. So what are you going to gain by seeing that? I also go and see, and stand in a queue and see that, and I feel so full, you know. So what? How long do you feel full? You know? Maybe great, I don't say no. See, even for one to be rich in this life, to enjoy lots of money, fame, name, popularity, to be praised, no? To be in the good books of people, actually for everything one must earn, one must have done lots of tapasya. Without tapas, nothing is possible. Lots of commitment and conviction, work hard. One must have earned it, hard work. Whatever one enjoys in this life is really one's hard-earned punyam's expression. If, that's what I'm saying, you have to understand, if you are suffering, these are our own earned, hard-earned things. Know that? Easily earned papam, hard-earned punyam. Don't think people are happy because they, you know, whatever today you are placed, whatever position you have today, is all grace. How do you get manifestation of grace? How do you get the grace? Punyam comes out of grace. You worked hard, you have earned it. Today, whatever you are, you have earned it. Worked hard, you earned it. That's good, very good. Some problems, suddenly some offer goes. That's okay. You didn't earn it. Earn for it. Didn't work for it. That's all. This is satyam. This is a fact. In Tamil, we have very beautiful and small sentence. Nandrum, thidum, pirar, tara, vara. Pain or pleasure, nobody else is responsible for what I am going through. What I have earned is coming. Pain or pleasure? No, affluence or poverty? Riches or no, poverty or prosperity? Anything is my own earning in keeping with the punya papas. So if because of the lots of punyam one has earned in one's life, no, lots of punyam one has earned in one's life, and thereby, you suppose that one does not know what is pain. Lot, the whole life is life of pleasures. The name, fame, popularity, everything if a person has. We do not have that much. If a person has, maybe many of you must be having. Then they may think, really, you know, aham krita krityaha, aham kritarthaha. Really, I am an accomplished person. I am a person of fulfillment and accomplishment, achievement. I am really an achiever. Nan sadhanayalan. Aham krita krityaha. Iti abhimanyanti. If they think, they do not know. That is only relative accomplishment. Whether you go to heaven and exhaust the punyam, or you exhaust best of things in this life as punyam through. You exhausted punyam. If you have accumulated again punyam, you can expect the same life next janma also. We don't know what we have in store. This life comes to end. It's like a water pebble, isn't it? This life is going to come to an end. Maximum 100 years. Over. Kick. Next is ready. One kick, you know, ball goes. Next, You had to wait for the next one. That means, where is achievement? Impermanent, isn't it? That is why any amount of pleasures you enjoy, anything you have in this life is Bhagavan. Be thankful to Bhagavan, you know, because to bless you with the grace, all that you wanted in life, that is, you have earned it through your righteous actions. There's a punyam. It's fine. But this is only relative. You are relatively successful. You are relatively accomplisher. You are relatively, it's relative accomplishment. But not an absolute success. It's not absolute accomplishment. The absolute success, absolute accomplishment is in really discovering the fullness which is already there, which will ever be there. Isn't it? That is why here he says, avidyayam bahudha vartamanaha. People may be very good people, highly righteous, highly ethical, highly religious, highly worshipful and highly praised, but still they remain ignorant. Bahudha vartamanaha vayam krutarthaha iti abhimanyanti. They think that they are accomplishes. Such people are balaha. They are very immature. They are not really mature. Who mistake the relative accomplishment for absolute accomplishment are immature people. Balaha. Yatu karminaha na pravedayanti. These karmis who are committed to karma, who are attached to karma. Karmi means what? Those who are attached to karma, the workaholics. Understand? Those who are committed to the karma and those who are attached to karma, those who cannot be without doing any karma. Understand? I'm not saying you should be lazy. But here, those who think karma phalam will help them attain moksha. Okay? And therefore, those who think karma is superior, those who do not know the value of knowledge, such people, karminaha, na pravedayanti, they do not know. And then, rogate, they do not know because of their ignorance, the disease of ignorance. Aturaha, say ragat, sorry, pravedayanti, ragat. Because of their attachment, they do not know. Ragat tena pravedayanti. They do not know. Then aturaha. So aturaha always, always agitated. Aturaha, always busy. Aturaha, aturaha means always restless. Aturaha. And such people, what happens when they earn punyam also, they go to higher lokas. They go to higher lokas. How? We know how they go. They are taken with friendly words, nice happy words, in between all proper juices and stuff. Just so well they are taken care of. The first class. What's the train name of Peterji?
Orient Express.
And there's a different Orient Express. It's not local Orient Express, not Indian Orient Express. The heavenly Orient Express, of the best of the class, and they take it. Go to Swarga. What do? They have every day the best of food. They don't need to strain to eat. They have to see the food. And they have to see Gandharva singing. They have to see the beautiful celestial damsels dancing. Apsaras dancing. Gandharva singing. Ramba Urvashi dance. Not Chitra Visheshwaran and Padma Subramanya. Ramba Urvashi dance. No. Best of music. Best of... what sort of music? Western? Classical, Western classical, Indian classical, What is this? Oh my God, the best of music, the best of dance, the best of food, the best of pleasures. What else is there best pleasures? What are the pleasures here? Enjoy everything. Punyam slowly withdrawn, drawn from account, drawn from the account, drawn from the account, drawn from the account. Egg finished. Punyam is over. Completely drawn. Nil account punyam. My God, the best of pleasure we enjoyed. All the punya have been drawn. Nil account. Punyam, no more punyam in the account. Chyavante, jump. Just they pushed out, down from there. Imagine, no return ticket. No, just, oh my God. No, he says, kshina lokaha. Kshina lokaha. Kshina lokaha. Now what? Having got eliminated. Understand now, having exhausted all the punyam, they lost the lokas. Chyavante, they return. They get pushed away from the lokas. No more sweet words. No more loving words. When you came, you were a rich man. Now you exhaust all your poorest man. When you are rich, all sweet words, nice words. When you go there, you are rich. You go as a rich person, rich punyavan, as a rich man. You come back as what? Poor. Why? All riches have exhausted, punyam have exhausted. Then nobody comes and talks to you anything. Come on, can I go with you? No, you're not even taken back, okay? You're just pushed. Chyavante, kshina lokaha, chyavante. That means what? Once punyam gets exhausted, the sukshma does not resolve. Sukshma is typically like dream. How you have all types of pleasures in dream. Once the karma, part of the karma, the pressure of karma, wakes you up from sleep to go through the next day, part of that to unfold. Similarly, the ajnanam is still there. Even though you had lots of punyam, did lot of good work, enjoy the best of pleasures. Punyam is exhausted now. So what happens now? The sukshma is still there. Only in jnanam sukshma will be resolved. Sukshma is still there. So punyam has gone. So it has to be what now? It has to come back to assume another body. Understand? So punyam gets exhausted. Sukshma shariram continues to exist. You will see in Gita also. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakaha, nainam nachainam kledayanti apaha, na martaha soshayati, achedyaha adahyaha. You will see all those things. So this sukshma comes back. And there will be another body ready. Assumes again he is to be born. Understand? These verses really tell you the limitation of karma and karma phalam. So what we do? We will be doing karma prudently, intelligently, to live the life, to earn artha kama. Understand? And we will work for jnanam, which is moksha. Okay, I'm stopping. 3 verses are enough today. These are the verse, simple verses, you can really relax. No? Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. So we'll meet at 11:15. Can I ask you, sir? Yeah.